Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvajacharya Stotosita Shishmad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parvaja Kacharya Astra Tarasita Shishimad Sringa Guru Shili Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami Maharaj Kijai Ananti Kodi Vaishnavinda Kijai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Premsiko Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Guru Bhaktivinda Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath Shama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavan Dham Kijai Mayapur Dham Kijai Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Nu Dwarka Dham Ki Jai, The Divine Lordship Shishi Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai, The Divine Lordship Shishi Jagannath Baldev Shimati Subhadra Ki Jai, The Divine Lordship Shishi Gornitai Ki Jai, Grantara Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Harinam Sankirtan Jagi Ki Jai, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution Ki Jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol, All glories to the seven devotees, Hari Krishna. All glories to the symbol devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to the symbol devotees, Hare Krishna. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the second canto, chapter 7, text number 51. Today's class will be entitled Bhagavatam. This is not just an ordinary book. It's Swayam Bhagavatam. It's a scripture containing or concerning Bhagavan. It's very special. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Yanme Bhagavato Ditam. Sangraho yam bibhutinam Twametar vipuli kuru Idam bhagavatam nama Yanme bhagavato ditam Sangraho yam vibhutinam Twametar vipuli kuru Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavato Ditam Sangraho Yam Vibhutinam Tametar Vipuli Kuru Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavato Ditam Sangako Yam Vibhutinam Idam Bhagavatam Nama Yanme Bhagavato Ditam Sangagoho yam vibhutinam Tamitar vipuli kuru Idam bhagavatam nama Yanme bhagavato ditam Sangagoho yam vibhutinam Kamentar Vipuli Kuru. Vaishnavis? Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Yanme Bhagavato Ditam. Sangogo Yam Vibhutinam. Tametar Vipuli Kuru. Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Yanme Bhagavato Ditam. Sangogo Yam Vibhutinam. Tametar Vipuli Kuru. Anyone else? Idam Bhagavatam Nama. Yanme Bhagavato Ditam. Sangogo Yam Vibhutinam. Tametar Vipuli Kuru. Idam. This. Bhagavatam, the science of Godhead, Nama, of the name, Yat, that which, Me, unto me, Bhagavata, by the personality of Godhead, Uditam, enlightened, Sangraha, is the accumulation of Ayam his Vibhutinam of the diverse potencies Tvam your good self Etat this science of Godhead Vipuli expand Kuru do it. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary, by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it is spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies. Please expand the science yourself. Please repeat. O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it was spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies. Please expand the science yourself. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Bhagavatam in a nutshell, spoken by the personality of Godhead in about half a dozen verses, which will appear ahead, is the science of God. And it is the potent representation of the personality of Godhead. He, being absolute, is non-different from the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmaji received the science of Godhead from the Lord directly, and he handed over the same to Narada, who in his turn ordered Srila Vyasadeva to expand it. So the transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Lord is not mental speculation by the mundane wranglers, but is uncontaminated, eternal, perfect knowledge beyond the jurisdiction of material modes. The Bhagavad Purana is therefore the direct incarnation of the Lord in the form of transcendental sound, and should receive this transcendental knowledge from the bona fide representative of the Lord in the chain of disciplic succession, from the Lord to Brahmaji, from Brahmaji to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, from Vyasadeva to Sukadeva Goswami, from Sukadeva Goswami to Sutta Goswami. The ripened fruit of the Vedic tree drops from one hand to another without being broken by falling suddenly from a high branch down to the earth. Therefore, unless one hears the science of Godhead from the bona fide representative of the disciplic succession, as above mentioned, for one to understand the theme of the science of Godhead will be a difficult job. It should never be heard from the professional Bhagavatam reciters who earn their livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience. Om Gyana Tumanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshushun Manitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guru Yenama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vancha Kopa Tubhischa Kripa Sindhu Vivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhu Vaishnavi Bhu Namo Namaha So the verse again. O Narada, the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of his diverse potencies. Please expand this science yourself. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Bhagavatam was given to Lord Brahma as a nutshell, in a nutshell. And he mentions there's like a half a dozen verses, but actually there's four verses that represent the nutshell Bhagavatam. But since Srila Prabhupada mentioned a half a dozen, I'll add two more to that. And I would like to just go to those verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is in the second canto, chapter 9. And this starts with text number 31. And if you like, we could chant these together. We'll actually be chanting the entire Srimad Bhagavatam in just a half a dozen verses. So let's go together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Let's chant it together. Gyanam paramaguyame yadvikyana samanvitam sarahasyam tarangam cha grihana garitam maya. So the translation. The personality of God had said, knowledge about me as described in the scriptures is very confidential, and it has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. The necessary paraphernalia for that process is being explained by me. You may take it up carefully. So this is after Lord Brahma heard tapa, and then he actually performed tapa with faith. And Krishna was pleased with him, and he appeared to him, and he shook his hand, which is amazing. And then he revealed to him the spiritual world. And now he's revealing to him. Actually, Brahma asked him four questions at that time, and the four questions were, what are the forms of the Lord both in matter and in transcendence? And then the second one is, how are the different energies of the Lord working? And the third one, how does the Lord play with his different energies? And fourth, how may Brahma be instructed to discharge the duty entrusted to him? So this is the prelude of all this. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes very lengthily in all these verses. Amazing length. Just so much potent power there. But anyway, he says, transcendental knowledge of the absolute supreme being can be known if it is made known by the Lord himself. So some people may ask, how is it that we can receive this transcendental knowledge, these transcendental vibrations? Because it comes directly from Krishna. And by Krishna's different energies, he can convert so-called matter into spirit. And, you know, like words, sounds, or even images like the deities, we see them. They're actually spiritual. And we'll see some images here, like some paintings that the artist did. These are actually images that are revealed and transformed into spiritual vision. So Prabhupada also mentions in the purport to this verse, knowledge of the personality of God may be attained by devotional service only. That's rahasyam, which means devotional service. One cannot understand the personality of God unless one becomes a devotee and discharges devotional service. This mystery is love of Godhead. Therein lies the main qualification for knowing the mystery of the personality of Godhead. And to attain the stage of transcendental love of Godhead, regulated principles of devotional service must be followed. The regulated principles are called Vidhi Bhakti, or the devotional service of the Lord. And they can be practiced by a neophyte with his present senses. Such regulated principles are mainly based on hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, and such hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord can be made possible in association of devotees only. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommends five main principles for attaining perfection in the devotional service of the Lord. And what's the first one? Jai. Second one? Chanting. Third? Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fourth? Residing in New Dwarka. And the fifth? I'm preaching to the choir here. Okay, such rules and regulations are parts of devotional service. So let's go to the next verse. Let's chant together. Yavanaham yata bhavo yadrupa guna karmaka yataiva tata vijnanam astute mad anugrahat. All of me, namely my actual eternal form and my transcendental existence, color, qualities, and activities, let all be awakened within you by factual realization out of my causeless mercy. Here again, here's the reason how we get this information. And Prabhupada says there in the purport, the secret of success in understanding the intricacies of knowledge of the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is the causeless mercy of the Lord. Even in the mature world, the father of many sons discloses the secret of his position to the pet son. The father discloses the confidence unto the son whom he thinks worthy. So we have to become very dear to the Lord in order to know him. And advancement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord can make one eligible to know the Lord. Prabhupada also writes here, one can know the supreme truth if one has unflinching faith in the bona fide spiritual master as well as the Lord. Such a faithful person, even though illiterate in the mundane sense, can know the Lord automatically by the mercy of the Lord. So here we're again being reminded of the disciplic succession, the parampara. As we saw, Krishna was enlightening Lord Brahma on the lotus flower, and then it's handed down to us. And that also is another huge purport. Let's go to the next verse. Aham eva sam eva gre nanyad yat sadasat param paschadaham yade tachcha yo visishyate shoshamyaham. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So this is the beginning of the Chatur Sloka, this verse here. And this one, this is an amazing purport, very long. I'm just going to pick out one thing to read from that purport. That's at the end, actually. And Prabhupada says there, there's no other cause of all causes than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. Therefore, this verse, Aham Eva, never indicates anything other than the Supreme Lord. And one should therefore follow the path of Brahma, Sampradaya, or the path of Brahmaji, to Narada, to Vyas, etc. And make it a point in life to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, or Lord Krishna. This very confidential instruction to the pure devotees of the Lord was also given to Arjuna and to Brahma in the beginning of the creation. The demigods like Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Indra, Chandra, and Varuna are undoubtedly different forms of the Lord for execution of different functions. The different elemental ingredients of material creation, as well as the multifarious energies, also may be of the same personality of Godhead. But the root of them all is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One should be attached to the root of everything, rather than be bewildered by the branches and leaves. That is the instruction of this verse. So we'll see more, I'll show more images about how we'll see where Krishna's everything expands in so many forms and manifestations. But let's go to the second Chatur Sloki. Vite vitam yat patiyeta na patiyeta chatmani tad vidyat yatmano mayam yato bayaso yatatama. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy. that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord is called yoga maya, or the energy of union. And the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's daivimaya or mahamaya. Both the mayas also have connection with the Lord because nothing can exist without being related to Him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory. So again, we're seeing how Krishna is everything. And let's see if I had anything else highlighted. Prabhupada says here, the sane man, however, is enlightened from the disciplic succession from Brahmaji, who is personally instructed by the Lord, or in the disciplic succession from Arjuna, who is personally instructed by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. He accepts this statement of the Lord. Aham Savasha Prabhavo. That's 10:8. The Lord is the original source of all emanations, and everything that is created, maintained, and annihilated exists by the energy of the Lord. The sane man who knows this actually is actually learned, and therefore he becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Although the reflectory energy of the Lord displays various illusions to the eyes of persons with a poor fund of knowledge, the sane person knows clearly that the Lord can act even from far, far beyond our vision by his different energies, just as fire can diffuse heat and light from a distant place. So there's a lot more to this purport, but let's see. How even though there's innumerable universes and they're full of darkness, which you'll see them, they're all, you know, they're illuminated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We cannot see anything without his mercy. So another verse here. Yata mahanti bhutani bhutesu chavasesanu pravistani apravistani tatateshu nateshaham. O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created, and at the same time, I am outside of everything. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada says here, the great elements of material creation, namely earth, water, fire, air, and ether, all enter into the body of all manifested entities. The seas, mountains, aquatics, plants, reptiles, birds, beasts, human beings, demigods, and everyone materially manifested. And at the same time, such elements are differently situated. In the developed stage of consciousness, the human being can study both physiological and physical science. But the basic principles of such sciences are nothing but the material elements and nothing more. The body of the human being and the body of the mountain, as also the bodies of the demigods, including Brahma, are all the same ingredients, earth, water, etc. And at the same time, the elements are beyond the body. The elements were created first, and therefore they entered into the bodily construction later. But in both circumstances, they entered the cosmos and also did not enter. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, namely the internal and external, is within everything in the manifested cosmos, and at the same time, he is outside of everything, situated in the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha Loka, as described before. Okay, so the last verse. There's 2, 4, 2, 4, 6. Yeah, two extra ones. Etavareva jignasyam tatvagina sunatmanaha anvaya vyativikabhyam yat sat sarva sarvada. A person who is searching after the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, must certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly. So again, just a glimpse from the purport. To unfold the mystery of Bhakti Yoga, as it is explained in the previous verse, is the ultimate stage of all inquiries, or the highest objective for the inquisitive. Everyone is searching after self-realization in different ways, by karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, raja yoga, or bhakti yoga. To engage in self-realization is the responsibility of every living entity developed in consciousness. One who has developed in consciousness certainly makes inquiries into the mystery of the self, of the cosmic situation, and the problems of life. In all spheres and fields, social, political, economic, cultural, religious, moral, etc., and in their different branches. But here, the goal of all such inquiries is explained. And what is that? Krishna. So, there's other points here, but just due to time. Prabhupada just says here quickly in the purport that because the so-called great leaders of human society are ignorant of this great knowledge of bhakti yoga and are always engaged in ignoble acts of sense gratification, bewildered by the external energy of the Lord, they are stubborn rebels against the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they never agree to surrender because they're fools, miscreants, and the lowest type of human beings. So he says it doesn't matter how educated they are, still they're factually fools. And he says here again that they acquire this knowledge of science, philosophy, fine arts, nationalism, economic development, religion, and great activities are being spoiled by being used as dresses for dead men. So there's no use in a dress for a dead man in a coffin, just to falsely applaud the ignorant public. So Prabhupada says, the Srimad Bhagavatam therefore says again and again that without attainment of the status of bhakti yoga, all human activities of human society are to be considered absolute failures only. So we saw Lord Krishna enlightening Lord Brahma, and here we're in the chapter where Lord Brahma is enlightening Narada Muni. And we talked about the disciplic succession, which comes down, this parampara. So from Narada to Vyas. So here Narada is practically, I guess you could say, chastising Srila Vyasadeva, saying, you know, people can't understand the Brahma Sutras in Kali Yuga. You're making all these different scriptures for different modes of nature. You know, people aren't going to understand your purpose. They're very slow in Kali Yuga. Just state the fact that everyone in Kali Yuga should worship Krishna. So then he wrote the Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's so nice. So right from the first canon all the way to the end, it's all about Swayam Bhagavan. And it's the highest fruit of the Vedic tree. So we have all these different Vedas, the Puranas, the Pancharatras, the Smritis, the Angas, all these things. So they all have different fruits for different things. But we want to go to the highest fruit, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam. So from Srila Vyasadeva, we know that it was handed to Sukadeva Goswami in the womb. He heard Srimad Bhagavatam. And he was enlightened there to where he didn't even want to come out. Krishna had to come and say, it's okay, you could come out. You're not going to be bewildered by the illusory energy. And then we see from Sukadeva Goswami, it was handed down to Maharaj Parikshit. And all the different sages were there. Suta Goswami was there. And then he presented it also, as we see in Srimad Bhagavatam here. So this is it. So we were discussing all the different energies of Krishna, how they're non-different. So we come here to one of my favorite images, and we will go in depth a little more of how the highest fruit of the Vedic tree, from compared to the Vedas, the Puranas, all these Pancharatras and Smritis I mentioned, the highest, they all have different fruits. So if you read the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, you can go to Swarga Loka, And you can see these in the different planetary systems above the Earth. There's different lokas there. So if you read the Karmakanda section, you could go to Swarga Loka or Brahma Loka. And then if you get the Jnana portions, you could get to Mukti. And it's interesting, in the Nectar Devotion, Rupa Goswami, he writes that according to our Siddhanta, that Vishnu and Krishna is non-different. So you see all the expansions of Krishna. There's Garbhodakshai Vishnu. You know, there's Karnadakshai Vishnu, all the different Vishnus. They're actually non-different than Krishna. Actually, there's only one Supreme Lord. There's only one object of worship. Just like in the material world, there's so many expansions of the Paramatma. He's in everyone's heart. He's in every atom. But it's the same person. And then there's Chirodakshai Vishnu. He's an expansion of Garbhodakshai Vishnu, expansion of Mahavishnu. They're all one. See, all the Mahavishnus and their expansions of Vishnu in the spiritual world. But it's still just one person, Vishnu. And they're operating in different modes. And we see Vishnus, the expansion of Krishna. And all the avatars also, they're expansions of Krishna. So as we move up the universe, we can see these things. So you can see the Karna ocean, there's Karnadakshaya Vishnu. And you could even use the Vedas to go to the Brahma Jyoti. You can use the Vedas to go to, you can see Lord Shiva as Bhagavan. They say those are different sections of Bhagavan. You could go to Shiva, Shiva's Loka. Or you could go to the highest. Just like here, they show here that you can see Lord Ram's abode there. And if you read the Ramayana and worship Lord Ram, then you could get prema for Ramachandra. So these are all the different fruits of the Vedas. And then there's the sattvic pranas where you could get bhakti. You could get prema. You could go to Vaikuntha. All the different planets surrounding there, the Vaikuntha planets. But if we go to Dwarka, you can see that here also. That's actually called Purna. It's perfect. It's actually higher than going to the abode of Ramachandra, or even it's higher than like expansions of Krishna, like Nisringadev. You see, but we see it's considered to be perfect, but yet there's different other places you can go here. You can go to Mathura. And there, the form of Krishna, it's called also Purna, but it's Purnatara, which means more perfect. And there, because it's not as grand as and majestic as Dwarka, there's less seeing Krishna as the Ishvara. But if you go to Vrindavan, you see the topmost planet, the top fruit of the Vedic tree. Then you see Krishna there, and he's called Purnatama, most perfect. And that's where Krishna, he manifests all his wonderful qualities, his intimate, sweet qualities, and that's Krishna. So that's where we get a special bliss from the highest form of Krishna, the highest fruit, which is the tree of the Vedas. And this is what the Supreme Scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, reveals. So we could get the less. So now we could zoom back into some of these places. We'll go back. So here we see the Vaikuntha Lokas. Here we see Krishna is very majestically worshipped, very nicely. There's some taste there, some fruit. And then if you go to the abode of Lord Ram, we see there also there's a special taste of fruit. So we could go higher and higher realms of reality. And here you could go to Dwarka, where Krishna is a little even more sweeter. But yet still there's that Aishvarya, the controlling us. They know he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Or you could go to Vrindavan. This is where it's a little more laid back, not so much Aishvarya, where it's very wonderful. We're seeing Krishna, you know, in Vrindavan and playing with the cows and the cowherd boys, milking the cows. And then we see when Krishna comes home, he comes to his parents, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, and all his friends are coming and telling him, "Hey Krishna, did you know that Krishna, he killed the demons? He killed these demons." And they're like, "No, how could Krishna kill them? You know, these boys are just, you know, exaggerating, you know, they're But they don't understand. They're kind of blocked from seeing Krishna as Ishvara because they just love him so much. They're so blinded and absorbed in Krishna's love that they refuse to see Krishna's supremacy. Even more than Vasudeva and Devaki. Even though they were the parents of Krishna, they had such love for Krishna. You know, yet Yasoda had much more love than Devaki. Because here they see Krishna, they knew that he was the four-armed, you know, he appeared as Vishnu. They kind of understood he was God. That's why Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj had deeper love for Krishna than even his own parents. So these are the different relationships. So we see Mother Yasoda, even though Krishna can say, oh, look, the whole universes are in me. She's like, oh, I'm bewildered. How is this happening? It's not Krishna. They won't believe it. Or even when they see Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, they're so absorbed in Krishna's beauty that they forget that, you know, that what he's doing. And then they think, oh, he must be tired. So they all help him with their canes, and Balaram helps him and all the different, you know, they're doing all these different things. And then they realize, oh, you know, Krishna couldn't have done that by himself. You know, he had all the help from the Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and all the cowherd men that were helping him. So they refuse to see that because they're such intense love for Krishna. And then it goes even higher to the gopis and some of the gopas. They see Krishna with intense love. And then you see the intimate relationship Krishna has with the rasa dance. And then even in Vrindavan, there's gradations of different tastes and mellows, different rasas. They explain it like different nectars. Like you see when you're bathing the deities, you see all these different nectars pouring down, like strawberry and different colored juices, red. But then you come to the mango juice, and it's like the sweetest of them all. So we see that's the Madhurya Rasa. It's the sweetest of the nectar of the fruit that Srimad Bhagavatam gives, which is the love between Radha and Krishna. So Krishna manifests these qualities in different forms, in different ways. So we see the highest is love between Radha and Krishna. And I was thinking, just like they say, the ripened fruit has to be handed down very carefully from the top of the tree. It's so tender. It's the sweetest. It's the ripest. It's the softest. And you can't, it has no seed. It has no skin. It has no fibers. It's just pure rasa. You can't chew it. You have to drink it. And I was thinking, it's like, you know, those soap bubbles that fly in the sky, you just barely handle, you know, sometimes you can catch it, but if you just handle it wrongly, it's gone. So that's like this nectar. It has to be handed down very carefully through the disciplic succession. Otherwise, we won't receive the real nectar, that soft, sweet juice. And we see Lord Chaitanya himself came to give this highest fruit. Look at the mango tree he manifested just from a seed, immediately came. So Krishna can give us the sweetest, softest, ripest. And he comes in the form, Lord Chaitanya comes in the Kali Yuga to give us this. So it's very important that we have to receive this Harikatha from the mouth of Vaishnavas. Because if you don't receive it from, if you receive it from an Avaishnava, then that Amrita becomes like poison. Like they say, the milk touched by the serpent, the tongue of a serpent, becomes poisonous. So if you hear from them, there's no conviction because they have no bhakti there. And also to describe, association is so powerful. It's described, I think it was Rupa Goswami describes this spatika quartz crystal. It's clear, and wherever you put it near, it reflects the color. If you put it by red flower, it reflects the red, a yellow flower, a blue flower. So in the same way, if you associate with my bodies or sense gratifiers, then you're influenced by that. So devotion of a person, it permeates the sound, the way he speaks. And that devotion will go into your soul, into the Atma. Here's a very wonderful verse that explains that from the fourth canto. My dear Lord, you are glorified by the selected verses uttered by great personalities. Such glorifications of your lotus feet are just like saffron particles. When the transcendental vibration from the mouths of great devotees carries the aroma of the saffron dust of your lotus feet, the forgetful living entity gradually remembers his eternal relationship with you. Devotees thus gradually come to the right conclusion about the value of life. My dear Lord, I therefore do not need any other benediction but the opportunity to hear from the mouth of your pure devotee. So this is how it comes. When it comes from the pure devotee, it enters into our ears and it reminds us, and it cuts through this illusory energy, and it reminds us, it kind of wakes us up of who we are. So it's so nice. In the purport there, Srila Prabhupada says, a pure devotee always engages in the service of the Lord, taking shelter of his lotus feet. And therefore, he has a direct connection with the saffron mercy particles that are strewn over the lotus feet of the Lord. Although, when a pure devotee speaks, the articulation of his voice may resemble the sound of this material sky, the voice is spiritually very powerful because it touches the particles of saffron dust on the lotus feet of the Lord. As soon as a sleeping living entity hears the powerful voice emanating from the mouth of a pure devotee, he immediately remembers his eternal relationship with the Lord, although up until that moment, he had forgotten everything. So here, Lord Chaitanya, we see he revealed Radha Krishna through this Nam Sankirtan. So this is the Bhagavatam. From the first verse of the Bhagavatam, it's described that all the Vaishnav commentaries, like Vishnunath, Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, different commentaries, they described this first verse into like six different meanings. They took every word and described it into higher and higher realizations, like we described, all the way to the highest rasas with Krishna. And we see through all the different cantos, all the Purusha avatars, how he creates everything, the sarga, the visarga, the pastimes of the avatars, you know, and then Krishna himself is described in the 10th canto. And here we see the Srimad Bhagavatam. From the first canto, we have the 10th canto, and then to the 12th canto. So the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes everything. It's like the summary. And the 10th canto, the 12th canto describes the glories of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But in the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, where it's very complicated, they describe all these different philosophies are explained and refuted. And the question was asked, how is it possible that the supreme entity beyond material conceptions and words can be described at all? How can we put into words? How can you even think about it? And he answers it by saying it's possible because it's by all the different spiritual shaktis of Krishna. And we read about the shaktis, like the saffron dust from his feet enters into the devotees and it comes out that way. So we see Lord Brahma received that from Krishna and he revealed it to us. And it's up to us to also spread that glory. So just end with one verse from the last verse, from the first verse to the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Hari, the congregational chanting of whose holy names destroy all sinful reactions, and the offering of obeisances unto whom relieves all material suffering. So this is what Lord Chaitanya revealed. He came to reveal through the holy names this highest mallow of love between Radha and Krishna. So thank you for your kind attention. Any comments or questions? Yes, Rabindranath Prabhu. Yes, that's the whole point of the class, is through the disciplic succession. And they carry that saffron dust of the Supreme Lord. So that Shakti is coming, the energies of Krishna is coming through his devotees, who are pure devotees. That's the parampara system. That's the only way to understand him. Yes. Yeah, thank you. That's the point of the class. Any other comments or questions? Jai, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.